Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am so excited about today's show. I've got two great guests with me today, Shane and Jocelyn, and they are former school teachers. After years of bad bosses, job losses, and frustration at work, they started an online business. That business made it possible to quit their jobs, spend more time with family, and earn millions in passive income online, all while working only 10 to 15 hours per week. Now they are helping other families do the same by connecting with people through their Flipped Lifestyle podcast, website, and inside their Flip Your Life community. It's my pleasure today to welcome Shane and Jocelyn.
Hey, Belinda. Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be here today.
We are super excited to be working from our happy place today. So,
oh, that's awesome. That's what I love to hear. Great. So, guys, why don't you just take a few minutes and fill everybody in on some of these gaps? I know people all the time say, yeah, they were school teachers and now they're living the life of their dreams. Like, sure, was it that easy getting from A to B to C? So why don't you take a few minutes and fill us in on that and tell us a little bit more about what you do today?
So what we do today, of course, is very different than what we did 5 years ago when we were I used to stand in front of a bunch of teenagers and try to teach them history. And Jocelyn had how many elementary students a day?
I worked with about 300 students.
Every single day of our life. So, you know, now what we do is we sell passive products, digital products online. We sell lesson plans to teachers. Like, we have a history website where people, teachers can come and log in and pay like $39 a month to download plans for their classroom. We do things like sell playbooks to football coaches and other sports coaches. And our main focus is now our Flipped Lifestyle community, where we help other families, other couples, other people who are kind of where we were, who maybe are fed up with a bad boss. Maybe they had a really bad experience at work and they want to change direction. We help them figure out how to do that with what they know. They can take their knowledge, turn those things into digital products, and set those up in kind of like an online platform. And we really, really focus hard on creating membership sites where you sell a product once, people keep paying you month to month. It's kind of like Netflix, because we've found for us, you know, as parents of small children, you know, we have a family, we have to worry about, you know, paying the bills every month just like everybody else. Creating that subscription model in your digital products business has been really good to help us like stabilize our income. So that's what we teach.
Oh, that is fantastic. So then tell us a little bit about that transition from being teachers and taking the plunge and doing what you're doing. And I'm sure it was not necessarily an easy thing or an easy decision. So why don't you enlighten us a little bit on that?
Okay. So I think it's important. You know, we always kind of take one step back because everybody focuses on like, you know, the highlights of your entrepreneurship and making money online and things like that. But for us, it's really about our why and why we left our jobs in the first place. Where we live in rural Southeast Kentucky, you know, being a teacher is a really good job. You've got a stable, you know, paycheck, you've got insurance, you've got all those things, right, that people kind of want to have a good enough life. But what we found was more and more in our jobs, we realized we didn't have any freedom of time. Everything was restricted. And the more we were in the system, the more we felt like kind of like slaves, like the bosses and the principals and all these people kind of owned us. And this was really highlighted by a horrific experience that Jocelyn and I had with our 3-year-old son, Isaac. We discovered that he was being mistreated at the daycare center that we were that we had him at while we were at work. People were punishing him by locking him in a bathroom for 4 and 5 hours at a time with the lights out. To punish him for like potty training accidents. And we found out that they were mistreating other students. We heard that one student, he was an older kid, like 7 or 8, and they put him in a diaper and stood him up on a table and made all the other kids make fun of him. And it was a really bad experience because what happened was there was a lady that owned the daycare it was the best facility in town. She sold it to new ownership. They brought in new people and the change happened so fast, but by the time we figured out what was going on, we were really deep into this situation. So when I finally put all the pieces together, you know, Isaac was afraid to go in a bathroom. He was brutally afraid of the dark. He started panicking when we would drop him off. And one morning when we put the pieces together, I was standing in there. I knew I figured out who it was, who was doing this. All these things came together and I had to go to work. It was like 7 a.m. and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I have no one to keep my son. I've got to be at work. I've got 30 high school students that'll burn down the building if I'm not in the classroom at 7:30. You know, like I never missed work. Like we were very dedicated to our job. So I was trying to balance this horrific incident with being a good worker, right?
Yep.
So there was one lady left who worked in another building of this facility. I took my son to her and I said, please keep him with you. No, don't let anyone else go near him until I get back. And I ran to work. I got another teacher to watch my class. And I went down to the principal and I said, I told her this story. I told her what I'd put together. I told her how all this was going down. I said, I've got to go. My son needs me. And I'll never forget the assistant principal, like looking up at me very, you know, like stoically and saying, is your son in imminent danger right now? And I'm like, no, but I just figured this out and he's in this place and I got to go get him. I need to go. Can you just get somebody to watch my class? And she said, well, I know your son needs you, Mr. Sams, but your class needs you too. Your school needs you. And I don't have time to watch your class right now. And I don't have any other subs. You can't go. And it was in that moment that I realized we had basically sold our lives away for a little bit of security, some health insurance. And this person thought that my job and everything else was more important than my son. So long story short, I basically was, you know, warned if I left, I could get in trouble. I could be fired, whatever. So I went and I all the drive back to get my son, you know, I called Jocelyn, told her what's going on. I just kept saying to myself over and over, how did I get myself into this situation? So that's what kind of pushed us to make that transition, is that we wanted more freedom. We wanted to be able to be there like for our children.
That is great. It's a pretty powerful story. And I think sometimes it takes things like that to push people to make maybe things you were already probably feeling somewhat. I'm sure you had feelings of, is this what I want to be doing? Or, you know, I don't even have any time for myself. Or maybe you had those feelings, but I think they're overrided by what you said, security. And that's what a lot of people, I do think, sell out for is, and maybe that, and for a lot of people, they need to be in that place, I guess, because they don't have that tenacity. And maybe until you're actually faced with a very difficult challenge like yourself, does it really push you to make some hard life choices?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what really kind of pushed both of us over the edge of saying, okay, something has to change. We don't know what is going to change, but something has to change. So Shane kind of started doing some research about some different things to do. Like his initial thought was to make extra money doing services, you know, like he was going to maybe mow lawns over the summer or which is
power wash houses or something.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Right.
You know, that was his initial thought. So one day he's like out mowing the lawn. He had his phone and he's like, you know what? What are these podcasts? I don't know. Like, I'm going to just check this out and just listen to a business podcast. So he finds one and starts listening to it. And that's when all this got sparked.
So basically I'm out on my lawnmower and I hear this guy. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Pat Flynn.
Yeah.
So I was looking for podcasts, and like the only reason I picked him was because on his website, he had a picture of him holding his son, and his son and my son are the same age, or they're the same age. So I was like, yeah, that guy's in my world. Let's see what he's doing. So he starts talking about how he was an architect and he passed his test and he created a study guide for architects and sold it. And people actually paid him money to email them this PDF. And, right before this, I kept saying to Jocelyn, after all these stupid things we tried, like I bought Jocelyn a sewing machine and we tried to like make and market curtains and all sorts of craziness.
Didn't work out so well.
And yeah, it didn't work out so well. You have to be able to sew apparently to sell curtains. So we figured that out hard way.
I kind of learned.
We still have the sewing machine, but it's in storage. But like I said to myself, I kept saying to her, what if we could get 100 people to give us $50? Like, and it doesn't even have to be here in our hometown. Like, it's not like I got to go mow someone's grass for $50. What if I could just get 100 of the 7 billion people on earth to send me $50? Well, that'd be $5,000 in a month. And if I could just do that every month, that'd be $60,000 a year. We could totally live on that. And as I'm listening to this podcast and I hear this guy say, I got X people to send me this much money for these things, I was like, that's it. That's how we can get 100 people to send us $50. We will create products that we can email to people or make courses that teach them something we know, and they'll do it, and they'll do it every month. So I ran inside, kicked the door in. I was just a sweaty mess, left the lawnmower in the middle of the yard with the yard half mowed. And I said, Jocelyn, I figured out how we're going to quit our jobs. We're going to sell emails. Trust me, this is going to work. Let's go. And like, she just kind of looked at me like I was crazy.
What is this scam?
Yeah, right.
There's no way this is going to work.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So that's a great story. So then you both just then brought your expertise to the table here in creating some of the things that you offer. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we just started doing a lot of different things. So Shane was a football coach at the time, so he was kind of delving into that space.
Like selling playbooks or
sure.
videos, how to do drills.
Yeah, and so then I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm not going to create something unless I can use it in my everyday life, because I'm just a very practical individual. So I'm like, okay, I'm a librarian. I've been searching for library lesson plans online forever, and I can't find what I want. So maybe I'll just make some and see if people will buy them.
Yeah.
So that's what I started doing. So I started a site. I started writing lesson plans. I started writing blog posts. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I just talked to people. I talked about problems that I had, and lo and behold, it was the same problems they had.
Yeah.
So people started coming to my website, and when I offered something for sale, people bought it.
That is great. So then, now fast forward here, how has the business shaped your lifestyle today? What's been, if this happened, I'm guessing now, I heard in there 5 years ago. Right. Is that correct?
Yeah, we started dabbling in the online space around 2012 to try to, and it took us a few months to figure it out. And we sold our, we had our first, it's not even really a launch. We had a list of like 250 people or something. And we sent them an email, and we made $2,700 in August of 2012. So that was the first time we ever made money online, was in August of 2012. And we quit our jobs in September of 2013.
Okay, perfect. And now your business is doing quite well.
Yeah, it's grown significantly since that time.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's been amazing. So we're just super thankful.
Yeah, we basically started this business around digital products, and we kind of did it in a different way than a lot of people do. A lot of people fall into this trap of like grinding 80 hours a week, and I got to do this and do that to be successful. But every decision we made along the way was, no, what can we make now that will sell for as long as possible? And we can set it up in a passive way where people can go do that, because
we really, you know, didn't have the time when we started.
Yeah, we had a
3-year-old and an 18-month-old.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So we had little kids. We had full-time jobs. We couldn't just quit our jobs. We had to pay our bills. And so we had to find ways to say, okay, well, Jocelyn has an hour and a half here, and I've got an hour here, and maybe we can put 7 or 8 hours into our business a week, but we can't just drop everything and work 80 hours. So everything that we did from the beginning has been created with our family first, our lifestyle first. So we created a passive income business that once we got it going, it kind of just runs itself. And it allows us to do the things that we want to do. Like today I went and ate lunch with my daughter. You know, Jocelyn's going to go pick up her after school and take her to gymnastics at 3 o'clock. And all those other mechanisms are kind of just in the background working for us.
That's fantastic. So, again, then that lifestyle, how's that changed? What's your life look like today versus maybe 5 years ago?
So I would say in a lot of ways, really. So when we started out, we lived in a neighborhood. We had a nice house. We had a pool. You know, we were living, I guess, what you would call the American dream. This is when we were still teachers.
You know that, you know, the American dream where you like run out of money the day before your paycheck to pay for all those things she just talked
yeah,
about.
That's pretty
like
much
that was
what
the American dream we were living, like everyone okay. else is kind of, you know.
Yeah. So. And so when the business started to take off, we made kind of what most people would consider to be a kind of crazy decision. We decided instead of cutting the Starbucks drive-through or stopping going out to eat and all the things that most people do to save money, we decided, no, that's not good enough. We are going to go to the jugular and we are going to sell our house.
Yeah.
So we sold our house. We moved into a house that was much smaller than the house we were living
much
in.
Much older, too. We moved into like the house that we had lived in was like a couple years old. And we moved into one that was like originally built in like the 1930s and then it had been remodeled in the 70s. So we moved into this so we could free up enough money to have a chance to quit our job. Like that's a lot of people are like, I worked 4 or 5 years and then I quit my job. And people always ask us like, how'd you quit your job in 1 year? Like, how did you possibly do that? And it was because we made this huge decision to say, how can we cut our bills in half and reduce our lifestyle to a point that allows us to achieve our ultimate goal, which is time freedom, right?
Right.
So we had this 2,400 square foot house. We sold it and moved into this much smaller, older house. And that was in like May. Was it May of 2013?
It was in May of 13. And our goal was to quit our jobs in May of 14.
Right.
But in the summer of 13, we had a really crazy sales period. So like we just had, you know, it's back to school time. We had a lot of sales and there
in
were
July,
two,
we made like $15,000, which blew our minds because we were teachers. We only made like $35,000 in a year. And then in August, we made $36,000. So we started looking at each other and said, okay, we've sold our house. We've drastically reduced our income and we just had two big months. We've probably got enough money to make it for a little while. Why don't we just quit? Because if we can do this part-time, what can we do when we do it full-time? So in September of 2013, that's how we ended up quitting our jobs.
And so fast forward a little bit to the summer of 16. So we lived in that house for about 3 years. And in the summer of 16, we found what I would consider to be like a dream property. So I didn't even know this existed, but we found this property. It was like 30 acres, has a 10 acre lake on it.
Like a private lake that's just ours, basically.
Yeah. And so we started looking at it and we're like, can we do this? You know, like, I mean, our business has picked up. Things are going really well now. And we ended up purchasing this property in October of 16. So we've lived here almost a year now.
And this is like a property, like, people always say, like, what's a huge things that change? Like, I think it's our perspective on the world has changed because as teachers getting by, you know, with enough money to make it 13 days and 14 days till the next paycheck, right? Like,
yep.
I couldn't even fathom owning a place like this or even like being around it. And, you know, we sold that 2,400 square foot house and it's hilarious because now our house is 4,800 square feet. And like that sacrifice literally doubled our vision and doubled like our perspective on what was even possible in life. And we always say that we sold our house and bought our freedom home. That little old house gave us a chance to be free from the world, free from bosses, free from want. And then, you know, now that was our goal in life was to be free. And we never even anticipated what forever homes or forever money would look like. And now we've kind of worked our way into that position all because we decided to take a chance and start an online business 5 years ago.
Well, that is that's a really great story. And I love the piece. I've had a couple of friends that have done that. And it sounds like maybe an easy decision, but you've got everybody looking at you and you're almost like feeling like you're doing what? You've got this nice home and you're going to sell it and go live in this 900 square foot house. And I've had a couple of friends that have done that and only a couple. So that says a lot, too, because I have lots of friends that are entrepreneurs that were said, you know what, we're willing to get absolutely down to live on the bare minimum of what we need to make our dreams happen. And I think that's fantastic. And I love that you shared that story.
It's so funny when we sold our house, that was the first time people really started like looking at us really funny.
Yep.
And they were kind of like, what are you doing? And then like nobody really got it. And then I always tell this story because it's hilarious. Like when we went to church the Sunday before we were both going to resign. And we led like a study group for married couples, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we said, hey, guys, you know, just kind of keep us in your thoughts and your prayers this week. Jocelyn and I are both going to be resigning from our jobs because we're going to go all in on this online business. And you would have literally thought that like Jesus had walked in the room, like the eyes,
like all the oxygen was sucked out.
All the oxygen got sucked out. The mouth dropped and everyone was like, what are you doing?
Because it's crazy enough to do this like in other parts of the world. But we live in rural Kentucky. OK, like people don't even know what online business is, really. Like we barely have the internet here.
And teaching is a great job.
Yeah.
It's a great job. I mean, it does provide a life that you can live, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then when I told my mom that we were quitting our jobs, after selling the house, she was like, people work their whole life to have, you know, a house in a neighborhood with friends and you're giving it all away. What are you doing this? And when I told her we were going to quit our jobs, she like cornered me and like, you know, it's just a Southern mama coming at you now.
Right.
And she put her finger in my face and was like, Shane Sams, you have lost your mind. You have flipped out. and you've got babies and you got to feed them and you are going to throw your life away that you've built over the last few years. And I was like, nah, man, we got this. We know what we're doing. I think just give us a chance. We can always go back to teaching. It's no big deal. And, but it's so funny because all those people who looked at us like we were crazy and said, what are you doing? Now they always come up to us and say, man, how can I do that too? So that's kind of the other side of that, that people, if you can get through like the doubters and the haters, mm-hmm. those doubters and haters will end up being your best customers. So just keep on going, you know?
That's right. So, yeah. Well, that's a great accomplishment story. So do you have a biggest challenge or obstacle and then how you worked through that?
I would say probably the biggest obstacle we had was time, because we are people who are parents. You know, we had two children who were under the age of 4 at the time. We both worked full-time jobs. Shane was coaching football, which is also like nearly a full-time job.
We were basically both out of the house from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day.
And, you know, we had to do all the things that all normal families have to do. We had to take care of our house. We had to mow our lawn. We had to adult, you know,
so, right.
And the way that we worked through it is basically we just developed a system to figure out, okay, this is how much time we have. Everyone on earth has the same amount of time and they're uber successful people. So how can we also do the same thing?
So basically one day we said the only way we're going to be able to create any kind of business, whether it's online or off, is to look at the 168 hours that we all have in a week. Everybody on earth has 168 hours. And how can we use our time most efficiently? Because we didn't have time. We just had no time, we thought. And then what we did was we went to a Mexican restaurant one day and we drew a grid on a giant piece of paper. I went and bought one of those, like, you know, those big accounting pads with like 12 columns. We flipped that over and literally drew 168 squares. And we said, what are all the things that we have now that are filling up these squares?
And so we start with like the non-negotiables, things like sleep at the time, work, because we had to go to work, feeding our kids, you know, things that we couldn't.
Keeping the children alive. Yeah, that's important. Exactly. That takes time.
So right? We would write all those in first, and then we would look at the rest of the time and say, okay, what are we spending our time on? Because everyone has a finite amount. So what are we spending it on? And at the time, it might have been things like TV or like scrolling Facebook or something like that. And we're like, okay, why are we going to waste time doing this? Like, we need to pursue our dreams. So we need to X all these things out. So we did some crazy stuff. I mean, we canceled cable. We stopped doing things on the weekends just temporarily. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that are like, oh, I can never do that. But we did, because we knew that if we didn't make a little bit of sacrifice then we wouldn't be where we are today, where we can do pretty much whatever we want to.
Yeah. So that was our huge challenge at the beginning, was just time, just trying to, because everyone's like, man, I got kids, I got stuff to do. I just don't have time to try something new. I don't have time to try to improve my life.
Right.
But when you really sit down and say, yes, I will have to give something up in the short term to get so much more in the long term, you will find solutions to overcome a problem like that.
I couldn't agree more. It's funny because I teach a whole thing on time, and people will always say to me, I just don't have enough time to do that. And I'm like, okay, let's map out what you do in a day. Let's take one of those, you know, day timers that start at 6:30 a.m. and every 15-minute increments, write down what you're doing. And because I even do it a little bit more finite. I love the 168 hours. I love that. But I really take people down to, you know, you've got 96 15-minute increments in a day. What are you doing with them? Because you can get so much done in 15 minutes if you'd focus in on it and get it done instead of procrastinating on it and waiting. And it's so amazing how people start doing these 15-minute increments in like a day timer like that. And they're like, gosh, I wasted an hour and a half right there. You know, that was six opportunities to do something amazing, to do something incredible. So it's really mind-blowing when people start to really look at not how, you know, what time are they wasting versus, you know, what time they think they have no time, but what time are they wasting where they could put other things. And it is sacrificing, but a lot of times it's just focusing.
We like to actually say it's not sacrificing anymore. What we learned through the process is we were actually finding more rewards in our time when we started eliminating these other things. We felt like we were sacrificing things like TV or like even going over to a friend's house for an hour to watch a football game or two, you know, whatever. Like, but what we realized was, in that short amount of time, we had to set priorities. What was the most important thing in our life? Jocelyn and me hanging out together with some couple time. Our children working on our business to give ourselves a better future. And those things, when we focused on them, became so much more rewarding than all that other stuff we thought was important, that this was actually a freeing exercise. We didn't really give anything up. We got more of the stuff that really mattered. And that's kind of how we view time management now. Like, that's why we call it the flipped lifestyle. Everyone else, like, lives for everything else first. And then whatever little bit of time you have to enjoy life, you keep it. We flip that upside down. We say, no, the most enjoyable thing in my life is being with Jocelyn or being with my kids or working on this thing that's changing people's lives. So why not get more of the things that are actually good than all those other things that just kind of fill up the rest of the time? So that's right. Kind of how we view it, you know?
Oh, that's fantastic. So then what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs that want to kind of say, all right, and you obviously have people coming to you and saying it now, like, okay, we were naysayers, but now we want what you have. So what kind of advice would you give to people who want to be entrepreneurs?
It's actually funny. I just did a Facebook live about this a little while ago. And this is great advice that we learned today from our six-year-old daughter, okay? So I went to eat lunch with my six-year-old daughter, mentioned that earlier, and when I walked in, the principal walked up to me. He's a friend of mine, and he said, hey, Shane, Anna Jo was picked for Student of the Month this morning. Did you know that? And I said, yeah, her teacher emailed me that. I was going to tell her, you know, good job. How did she get that? Like, how do you do that? How do you pick that? And he goes, well, what we do is, you know, we take nominations from around the school. They've got to do things like help their teacher, be a buddy, not a bully. They got to, you know, be good to their fellow students. They got to make good grades, do all their homework, all those things we want our kids to do. Right. And he said, what we do then, we take nominees. There's usually about 12 to 15. And we put all those names on a piece of paper and put them in a hat. And then we draw out a name for the student of the month because, you know, at that level, we don't want to, you know, like a teacher's kid to get it and someone complains, politics. You know, the last step of the journey is we draw them out at random, okay? And I said, well, wait a minute. I would say all those kids, though, that basically, you know, get a chance to be student of the month, it's not at random. They did what it took to put themselves in position to win student of the month, to get that acknowledgement. They worked hard. They put the things in place. They took action on the things they needed to take action on. And Anna Jo this morning was in the right place at the right time, but she put herself in the right place so that she could be in the right place at the right time. And that is the advice that we give to everybody who's even thinking about doing something like what we did, like starting an online business, trying to create a better life for yourself, is take action. It doesn't matter if you get everything right. It doesn't even really matter in the end if you get like student of the month. What matters is that you did all those things to be successful. You implemented all the systems to put yourself in a place to win. And until you say, I'm going across the line in the sand, I'm stepping across this line, I'm taking action, I'm going to do something, it's never really going to happen. Because of all the people that we've seen try it and not quite make it to where they wanted to go, they still achieved something amazing. But all the people that we see that come to us and ask us about what we do, and they say, well, that sounds great. It worked out for you. It didn't work out. It probably won't work out for me, so I'm not even going to try. Those are the people that guarantee failure. So the biggest advice we give is start, do, take action so that you've got a chance to achieve something amazing and that abundance that you really want in your life.
And I always say that taking baby steps gets you closer to your goal than standing still.
Yeah. Taking no steps will keep you right where you are. And if you want to stay where you are, we can't help you. If you want to go to the next level, take the next step. And we'll all go there together.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of my key questions that I ask in this interview, and I just realized I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm like, I didn't ask them that question. One of my favorite questions. And that is, so what are two of the skill sets, or one of you can give me each of your own, but that you think, what are your greatest skill sets that you think that have helped you be successful in this space?
All right. Well, for me, I would say the first thing is that I'm determined. I'm a very determined individual. Like if I decide I'm going to do something, I will complete it. So that is something that for me has been very powerful, I think. I'm also good at task management, time management, and also prioritization. I would say prioritization is probably one of the most important skills that you can have as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I think it's why we work so good as a team, I think, because my skill set is more I'm kind of like, I don't care if we fail as long as we gave it our best effort. You know, like I will go and try anything. I will start a business. Whatever the opportunity is, let's just jump in feet first and see what happens. But like, I'm a really good starter, a really good mud on the wall person. And Jocelyn's a really good finisher, clean the mud off and see what stuck person. So, you know, those are probably the skill sets that I think we both bring to the table that really complement each other. And I think it's why we've really gotten to the point where we are at, because, you know, like I would come to Jocelyn and say, hey, let's sell our house so we have a chance to quit our job in 3 months.
And I'm like, that's absolutely crazy. No way.
but then I go and put a sign in front of our house and come home and say, hey, we're selling the house. And she's like, oh, no. So now she has to go through the process of making sure that we find a new house to live in, that we have, you know, the money to live in that house. So.
She's really good at pushing me out of the plane.
And Jocelyn's really good at making sure we have a parachute. So,
that's so those awesome.
Those are probably our two skill sets individually that best complement each other.
Oh, and, that's fantastic.
And that's how we've kind of built our business.
All right. Well, in closing then, are there a few things, your exciting things you're working on? And then please tell our listeners how they can find you.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on. We just sold one of our companies. We actually sold it for over $1 million. It was awesome. We never even thought that that could ever happen. But we just did that so that we could free up more time for Flip Lifestyle, because we've had thousands of people come and us show them what we did and then them implement it in their own life. And, you know, that really became a passion project for us. The first person we ever helped was Jocelyn's friend named Lindsay. She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but they needed extra money so that she could do that. So Jocelyn taught her how to do online products, and she made $1,000 in a month. And her husband came up to me one day at church and said, you know, like kind of like with a tear in his eye, he's like, man, thank you so much. You've made it possible for my wife to stay home with our children. I'm going to be investing some of this money into getting my PhD so that I can go to the next level. And this has just really changed our life. And we realized that we had to share what we had learned with other families so that they could flip their lives too. So Flip Lifestyle is a huge part of our life right now. It's our main focus. And we're really excited about that. Our kids are starting online businesses. Isaac is 8 now. And he's got his own YouTube channel. He thinks he's like a big YouTuber. And Anna Jo gets on there and does videos too, where she opens toys and cuts them up. So they're learning about this stuff. So we're excited about that. And just everything in our life, like getting better. We're just always trying to go to the next level. It's awesome how we've built this life, but it's not enough. You want to keep growing, keep expanding, and just seeing what everything is possible out there.
And so if you want to check out our page and learn more about what we talked about here today, you can go to flippedlifestyle.com/happyplace to learn more about us and all the different things we have to offer. And if you want to check out our kids channel, we do a lot of fun stuff on there. We do travel reviews, and
we just did a Disney cruise. It's awesome.
It's like a little glimpse into the life of an online entrepreneur, but it's called FL Kids on YouTube.
Yeah, FL space kids. That's the Flipped Lifestyle Kids. And you can see what we're up to on our family side.
All right. Well, guys, that sounds fantastic. And it has been absolutely delightful having the two of you on the show today. I know our listeners are going to love this and love all the stories that you gave and insights and be inspired by you. You're both extremely inspiring. And it was just delightful having you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here today.
Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.